Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
The original Mad Max movie, was it set in the year 2020 or 2021?
I think there was a meme getting around on social media saying it was 2020 or 2021, but it's not, apparently.
I'd like to think not.
One of those urban myths.
Because I'll tell you what, they could have been onto something back then, because when the pandemic hit its peak, it was something out of Mad Max, wasn't it? You go down the shops and all of a sudden people are fighting over the last bit of food. They're fighting over toilet paper.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
have been a very exciting Mad Max movie if everyone was fighting over toilet paper.
And that was at the end of the movie. That's what they, we've got it. We've got the bounty, not the gold, the toilet paper. But I tell you what, at some stages, it hasn't taken people very long to go to the whole lawless sort of a side like Mad Max as well. A secret harbour man over in WA is in a bit of trouble after allegedly busting into Optus Stadium and driving recklessly on the Oval while the rest of Perth was in lockdown.
Why was he doing this? What, was he on a lawnmower? Why was he driving around?
He was in his ute, a black Ford Ranger ute. So okay. What he done, the first day of their city lockdown, on the 1st of February, this 29-year-old, I don't know if he'd been planning this for a while, was he like, I've been waiting for this moment to finally live out my dream of busting through the boom gate at Optus Stadium and doing donuts on the Oval.
Yeah.
I don't know how this sort of works, but either way, that's exactly what this guy done. It's just amazing. That's the first thing that come to his mind, you know. But that's exactly what he decided to do. He went straight into Optus Stadium, through the boom gates, in the Oval, started doing burnouts, and eventually, you know, police and everyone turned up to arrest the man.
On a positive note, at least there were no games being played at the time.
Exactly. Right.
Normally you have to worry about streakers running onto the Oval, not someone behind the wheel of their ute.
The stadium is worth $1.6 billion and has attracted a bit of, you know, criticism as to not much stuff actually happening there and being played in the process. So maybe he thought he was getting some good use out of it. But basically, what I'm hearing here, he was detained by staff until police arrived.
So citizen's arrest.
Yeah, how are they doing that when he's in the car? Is it like a rodeo thing where like he's the bull and they're the rodeo clowns? How does this work?
I imagine the groundskeeper pursued him on his ride on lawnmower.
Like, maybe.
You know, he's on the radio, I'm in pursuit on my Victor.
Throwing down some rakes for spikes or something to try and bust one of the tyres or something like that. But he's been charged with reckless driving, you know, trespassing and criminal damage and destruction of property. Not sure exactly how much the bill is after all this that he's done here, but he's due to appear in Perth Magistrates Court later on this month, so I think the 25th of February as well. So
okay.
How does he try and get home? And if he's, you know, got a partner trying to explain that one to the missus, I was feeling a little bit bored, so I thought I'd just go for a joyride and, you know, go to Optus Stadium and do some doughies.
Bizarre.
So regardless of all the damage that he's caused, it's still not the most damaging thing to happen, you know, to a sports oval. Probably this thing is still the most damaging, I think. I don't know which is worse.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.
Video games, they come and go. You have your fads. There's very few video games that stand the test of time, Hutsy, but there is one that has just marked its 21st anniversary. It's The Sims.
Oh, jeez. Yep.
Basically, if you've never played The Sims, it's like you have a house and then you have like a simulated life in it. You have characters and they basically go through the motions of having to go to work, have kids, get them to school, all that good stuff.
It's the computer version of the game of life, the board game.
Yeah, pretty
That's
much.
That's the best way to describe it.
Yeah. And, of course, to celebrate the 21st birthday of this game, a lot of the players shared their experiences on Reddit with The Sims. And this is a great way to spot the psychopaths in our society, because some of the things these people have admitted to, they would be in jail for if they did it in real life. Snorlax Mum 666.
Oh, there you go. That's a good start.
She regaled other Reddit users with this story. An NPC stole my food that I'd paid for at a festival. I invited her over, planning to lock her in a room and let her die. But then her husband was walking by, so I locked her in a room with the bare necessities and a large window looking into my Sims bedroom. I then seduced her husband while she watched, and I let her go. Maybe you'll pay for your own food next time, Lily.
That is sadistic.
That is, like, wow.
That puts to shame the stuff I used to do. I used to just, like, you know, the standard, you'd build a pool, someone would go for a swim, you'd remove the ladder, they'd swim until, you know, basically they carked it.
Oh, my God.
Or you'd put a whole bunch of furniture in a room, you'd light the fireplace and you'd sort of have no doors and they couldn't escape.
But what is wrong with you?
Oh, yeah.
Why would you do this?
I was only young, I was impressionable. But the best one is, while this was happening, you had a baby sometimes and you got too sidetracked to look after the baby, so child services would come and take the baby.
Really?
So as the lady was trying to leave with the baby, I put like a room around her so she couldn't leave, so she'd just be walking around this room with the baby and she couldn't leave and take the baby. That's about it for me, but that story, that puts that to shame.
My experience with The Sims is pretty limited. I think I only played it for a few hours and I didn't need to torture the little characters in the game because I sucked that bad at it that I think my house caught fire at one point because I was cooking a meal and someone came to the door and I forgot to. It's like next thing you know, the whole house is ablaze. I'm like, it's like, man, if I want to play a game where I suck at life, I have real life for that. Like, I don't need a game to do this for me. But, yeah, the stories kept coming on Reddit. Excuse me, sir, this is the name of a Reddit user, said, I don't like to use money cheats, but I wanted my Sim to get rich quick. She seduced Mortimer, who's an NPC, and then convinced him to leave his wife, married him, and then I spent a good 5 minutes cackling when the split household screen came up, and I was able to move Bella and their two children into a small one-bedroom starter while my Sim moved into the goth mansion with Mortimer. That's like Machiavellian. This is so manipulative. And then finally, Peasant 007 said, I once had a Sim who pissed me off so much that I locked her in a room with those wall speakers that only play Christian music. Inside that room was a wall-sized television, and I forced her to watch the cooking channel while she slowly starved to death. What the hell? So, you know, if you've just started going out with someone and they do play The Sims, maybe just check to see how they play this game, because some people, like, they're committing crimes, video game crimes in this. Although they're pretty much safe because, you know, if there was such thing as video game court and they were taken, you know, and it went to trial, if any of these characters tried to testify, it'd just be...
Dustype, Globby, Gore, Daz, Seabug, Hoo, Dustype.
Their testimony would be thrown out. It's all gibberish.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
I really feel like the years that I've left school, I finished school way back in 2004. I know, an absolute eternity ago. It really feels like that my spelling has definitely gone downhill since then.
You reckon?
Yep. My spelling, how neat that I write, everything like that. Like these days, I barely have to write things by hand. It's all computers. I'm sure it's probably the same in the schools. Like gone are the days of the book with the shaggy pages, you know, hunting around for the 128-page exercise book for the upcoming year or whatever it is. Or
yeah, I mean, the whole skill of being able to spell now is kind of being made redundant by technology.
Yeah.
Like when computers first came out and they put the little red squiggly line when you'd get spelling wrong. But now you don't even get halfway through a word when your mobile phone or, you know, the computer you're using goes, do you mean this? And you're like, I've not even finished the word yet. Stop trying to second guess me, computer.
I would struggle if I was at school at the moment because I type incredibly slow. I'm like the one finger per hand with the glasses pulled down on the nose type, or I can't touch type. I have to be staring at the letters and
like
things
like
that.
Like you're writing a letter to the ABC because something's made you angry.
Exactly right. When I write so much faster. I write that fast. Like, my writing is like if Speedy Gonzalez was writing on a bit of paper. Like,
right.
It ends up being I can't even read it. It's like, you know, my brain's like, you know, I don't have to have the right letters. You know what I mean. You'll know what you mean when you need to read it. Like, it's close enough is good enough.
You're like a professional sports player after, like, their 100th autograph. It's just like a squiggly line. You're like, that's it.
Cramping up.
That's my signature.
Yeah, and well, kids these days, they probably don't have to write as much as what we did when we were back at school. But they have been through a lot with the coronavirus, with HSC trying to learn things and, you know, retain information and also being at school as well. English is definitely one of the subjects you need to know how to spell with grammar, punctuation, that sort of stuff. But New South Wales students who are doing the HSC, you know, from now on, probably for the next few years or so, possibly, basically, when they sit the HSC exams upcoming this year, next year, they won't be penalised if they have spelling errors and punctuation errors.
Really? So they get a free pass on poor spelling and grammar?
I'm actually sitting here thinking when I did my HSC, I can't remember if, like, it was a thing you'd get marked down or not if you had poor punctuation and grammar and spelling, like...
What if they spell their own name incorrectly? Sure, that's an instant fail. Like, I'm sorry, bet you forgot how to spell your name.
The first thing I always got told when you're doing an exam is the teachers would be like, you get this many points just for filling out your name and your student number. So it's like, yes, I literally cannot get zero. But basically, they're trying to put the emphasis on students showing they can apply the information from the text they've learned.
Right, okay.
In the HC. Like, that's the more important stuff.
Sure.
Not so much the spelling and the grammar as well. But basically, a few experts are saying, well, this could basically, they could turn into a Hutsi in years to come. All of a sudden, they don't have to use these sort of skills and punctuation. They could be horrible at it when they get older in life.
Yeah, if you don't lose exercise that, sort of that skill, then yeah.
Exactly right. But then obviously people are saying, well, they should have learned all those skills when they were younger, like punctuation, grammar, well before they've gotten to year 12.
Right, okay.
But at the same time, it's like, if you don't use it, you lose it. I'm proof of that.
I mean, again, technology helps you out so much these days that unless you're going to be a professional Scrabble player, spelling and grammar isn't super important. I'm sorry to any teachers that are listening right now that are like, what are you guys doing?
You're killing the industry.
Stop it.
Well, kids these days, students, obviously, they've got the smartphones. Like you said, auto-corrects when you're writing something.
Yeah.
They've got spell checker and that sort of thing. But I reckon I would really struggle if they were to correct, you know, check out some of my work if I was doing the HSC, because mine's gotten that messy over the years. Forget about, like, the spell checker and, you know, auto-correct like that. To be able to decipher what I'm writing on the paper, they need to dust off an old machine a little bit like this to interpret it, I think. So, dot, dot, squiggle, squiggle, dot, dot, dot. Yeah, that's my name.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Spiders. They're nature's 3D printers.
They really are.
Always working to make those magnificent webs. Beautiful works of art some spider webs are, like just wonderful geometric designs. I mean, that's how I feel about spider webs in the daytime.
Mm.
But when you walk through a spider web at night, they are the worst thing in the world.
Absolutely, especially if you've got your mouth open when you're yawning or
something. Oh, yeah. Fortunately, I had my mouth closed this morning when I left for work. I walk into the station every morning, and because of the early start, it's nice and dark. And so this morning, I was literally like a dozen steps away from the house and bam, walked right into a spider web. It's like all over you. Like if it was in the daylight, people would cross the road to avoid you because you would look like a madman. You immediately start swearing and waving your arms and around, you know, just, oh, you son of a, oh, it's all over me. Ah, ah.
Nicolas Cage.
Like, yeah, you go full Nicolas Cage. It's like one of my pet peeves, you know.
I reckon maybe that spider's been waiting for you. Usually they put them up for flies and they're just like, all right.
Yeah.
I've got my eyes on the big prize now, this fully grown human being. I'm going to try and catch him
this morning.
This
will feed me for the next 10 years. They should be required to put down tiny witches' hats, like to mark out
come on,
there's some sort of hazard here. Yeah. But, of course, that would stop them from getting the flies. Mm. And the worst part is once you walk through the web and you deal with the initial, like, sensation of having that webbing all over your face and you're trying to pull it off, once you've recovered, the next logical thought is, now where's the spider?
Absolutely. That's all. I always go that way too.
Is he treating me as his own personal spider Uber? Is he on me right now? Like where? And if he is, he's going to be pissed off because I just demolished hours of work. I've just walked through it.
Yeah, that's the equivalent of you doing something in Lego and someone coming along just going,
just kicking it down. Yeah. You'd be pissed off. You're going to bite them. So I'm like, oh God, I'm like waiting to feel something crawling on me. Fortunately, I didn't feel any spiders. So, you know, it's. And then the worst thing as well is when you consider, where does spider web come from?
Mm-hmm.
How do spiders make their web?
At the back.
It comes out their butt.
Yep.
Yeah. It's basically spider web is butt fluid for spiders, which is really gross.
It kind of is because they think it's a work of art.
Yeah.
They're like, check this
out.
It
looks great. And then when you actually like deconstruct what it is, you're like, oh, my God, that's disgusting. That's why Spider-Man was always my least favorite superhero because, you know, they always talk about him. Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. It's like, yeah, well, if he did and he was spinning webs of any size, he'd be shooting that stuff out from between his thighs. I don't think anyone would want to watch a Spider-Man movie after that.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.